The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good types.
But so many poor choices.
What? This is The Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
We just kicked it off right off here. This is, I would say, like the first episode we've done with each other for a minute.
Without a guest. Yeah.
Yeah, a guest. But we're not together.
I know. We're still not together.
We're quarantined again. And why is that? Because your girl Sarah got fucking a positive Rona test. We got the vid, people. Totally fine, though.
I mean, you sound in good spirits, so you should probably say that, you know, you're not in the midst. I'm not forcing you to record on your deathbed.
Yes, no, to let everybody know, this is my own choice. I firmly believe at this point, the episode last week, you heard me in the middle of the Rona. I'm pretty sure I had it over Halloween. I think I was under the impression it was a sinus infection. Definitely wasn't a sinus infection. Lo and behold, I had to go get a corona test for a completely different procedure situation that was going on, and it came back positive. So I have a feeling that I'm quarantining now, but, you know, I have no symptoms or anything like that. And yeah, this will be the first year that I am not spending Thanksgiving with my family, and I'm making it for myself. So fingers crossed we don't fuck around and mess that all up.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, how many people you're making food for. I assume it's just you and your boyfriend, and you're not going to invite anybody else over into your corona house.
No, but he just got, well, he, to be fair, he literally, like, 10 minutes ago got a test and it came back negative. So he's negative. I have to assume that I'm very close to being negative as well, but no, we're not inviting anybody over to the house of Rona for Thanksgiving.
So, I mean, there's really not that much pressure on creating a meal. My cousin actually,
I'll be hungry by then. Like, I'll be starving. I want to eat food that tastes good.
Noted. Yes. But my cousin actually, when her and her husband moved to Alaska and they couldn't be around for holidays as easily, they made, just turkey pot pies for Thanksgiving, like with sides, but they didn't do the full on turkey.
What a smart idea, turkey pot pies.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if it's possible to find one that's gluten-free that you could just pop in the oven like the banquet situations, but...
We're not doing that. Nope. Mm-mm. That's the thing. I get really particular about my traditional Thanksgiving meal. I don't give a fuck about Christmas. I could care less about the meal then. You know, traditions have changed, but like my Thanksgiving meal is like how I thrive. That it's, I identify with that. Like that's my favorite thing, time of Thanksgiving food. And so like, there's a lot of pressure on myself to say, can I live up to my aunt's standards and like bust out a 15-pound Kroger went ahead and just did it for me. Gave me the whole 15 pounds.
I'm like, yeah, can you find a mini turkey?
Oh, they're all sold out because everybody's doing little Thanksgivings. So I.
Yeah, because I'm like, I've made just like a turkey breast. Like just a single serve situation.
Well, I put the order in for, you know, the 10 to 14 pound turkey. And I was like,
you sell a lot of meat.
Sure. But, you know, my boyfriend and his nephew, they're big dudes. So I assume that, oh yeah, his nephew lives with him, by the way. So like that was a whole thing, but they both went and got tested and they're both negative. So that's that. But so I'll be feeding, you know, two dudes and a Sarah, that's a lot of meat that needs to be prepared.
So you kind of breezed past the vid. And the only reason I'm calling it the vid is because in the Kevin Hart special that he has out right now on Netflix called No Fucks Given, he talks about how him and his wife had the vid. And yeah, his wife had more symptoms than he did. He kind of felt like there was no way that he could be positive. But he was like going crazy during the like quarantining because he didn't like feel terrible. Right. So I think the quarantining makes more sense. And probably for people who actually really feel bad, like they're like, this is essential. But if you don't really feel bad, you're probably insanely stir crazy.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. I like built it up in my head that getting corona was going to be this life changing thing for me because of how it's being portrayed. And I'm saying that just for me, my own lens, my own personal view. I'm not saying that this is how everybody will experience it. But what I'm saying is like, I anticipated that when I was going to get it, cause I figured everybody was going to get it. I think I already said that before, but I anticipated that it would be like this awful experience. And I never really put much more thought into like what it would feel like to have coronavirus. Cause it's like, that's not what I do. So getting through it and realizing I personally am okay, it like takes the scary part of it away from me. And it encourages me to like continue to understand it more so that I can help other people understand it more now. Like, it's just like, you don't understand how it's going to hit you. So it terrifies you because it's, everybody's different. So
yeah, the more I guess random interviews and things that I've seen come out, there's more and more celebrities coming out who said that they had it either at the beginning or whatever, and they didn't want to say anything initially because they didn't want to invoke fear,
right?
Or they didn't want to stir up any extra like unnecessary attention or whatever. But there's quite a few people who said that they just felt like they had, you know, the flu or something mild. Right. I mean, obviously we know that a lot of people have suffered greatly from either having it themselves or their families were affected. And, you know, obviously the numbers in how many deaths there are in this country is staggering. So like, I don't want to downplay this issue by any means. So we're, you know, again, we're going to try to find humor in every situation. Mm-hmm. Continue to call it the vid because it's funny, but you know,
it's funny. I think I probably a couple people I sent this to, like, you know, a couple of our lady comedy friends, I was like talking to them and it came up that I was, you know, tested positive. I had it. And I'm like, this could be too soon, but I'm considering going out there and being like, oh, $5, I'll give you the vid. You won't have to do the holidays with your family. But it's just like, you can't, it's too soon. Too soon. Your racist uncle just is not going to get the pleasure of being racist around you because you're not going to be there because, you know. But yeah, I was like, I can't actually go out there and do that. Because it's just, it's not funny, but there is humor in it. We just have to find it.
Right. And I mean, this whole time, it's not that you weren't suffering. You just thought that you had a sinus infection or like mm-hmm. you had a lot of congestion and stuff. And that's not something that the, I guess, exposure that I've had to data or information is listing as like a major symptom. But I'm also not an expert in what the symptoms are either.
Right.
But most people have like a cough and the shortness of breath and the loss of taste and smell and things like I haven't had that many people say that congestion was a major factor.
I still had a sinus infection on top of it. But I did go to the doctors for the sinus infection, the first doctor, and she looked in my, you know, nose and throat, and she was like, yep, you still have a sinus infection. You definitely have that going. So that's why we just didn't catch it, because I truly had that on top of the Rona. So
right, well, you know, and I know you're prone to sinus infections. However, your immune system was probably compromised fighting off.
Oh yeah,
you know, the vid.
Oh, absolutely. Because the one round of antibiotics didn't do make the cut. So then I was like, oh, I might be actually, God damn it. I got the vid. Son of a bitch. Like I wasn't putting it all together in my head. And then I got the test and I was like, well, that makes a fuckload of sense.
I mean, the worst part is probably the mental anguish of who have I come in contact with? Now I have to tell people. I mean, yeah. How is that?
I would say actually the what happens next, like for anybody who's listening who gets coronavirus and they're in lucky enough to be in a position where I'm in, where I'm capable of handling my business and moving throughout my life. The after part is the scariest part because you have to remember who you came into contact with and let them know. Otherwise, you feel like a piece of shit. You can't sleep. Like it took me a few hours. I had gotten the test results on a Sunday night at like 10:30 at night, and I couldn't sleep because I felt so bad. I sent my, you know, family a text immediately, and everybody was asleep. But there were a couple of people I had come into contact with who are susceptible. They're in the high risk category, and I didn't want to contact them, you know, immediately in the middle of the night and be freaking them out, be like, you got the wrong, I got the positive. And you know what I mean? So like, I had to wait until, you know, appropriate time the next Monday morning to be like, hey, FYI, I want you to know.
Good.
Yeah. We'll start your day right. Happy Monday. Let me tell you what your life is going to be like now. Monitor your symptoms. But so there was no like protocol. There's like nowhere you can go. I didn't find any resources that help you understand what your steps are after you get a positive diagnosis. So my recommendation is first, don't panic. You want to call the people that you came into contact with first and let them know immediately. And then if you are experiencing symptoms, great. You know, you have it. If you're not, wait 3 to 5 days. And if you don't start experiencing symptoms, you can go ahead and get another test, or you can quarantine yourself for up to 21 days. Now they're recommending not just 14, 21 days. And then you'll be super sure you won't have to get another test. You'll just know. If you want to do the 14 day, they recommend doing 14 and then getting another test just to make sure. But like, don't panic. Don't call your doctor. Don't call 911. Don't go to the hospital. It's not an emergency. If you're capable of managing your life right in that very moment, you can make a plan for the next steps.
Yeah. And the majority of, advice that I've heard actual medical professionals give people who are, I'll say typically healthy is basically the same as if you're sick. Take your vitamins, get some rest.
Yep.
Drink some tea.
I drink tea. I was incredibly tired all the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, so, but yeah, anyway, that's my Rona encounter. I knew it was going to happen.
How did you know it was going to happen though?
Everybody's going to get sick. We're animals. I'm sorry. We're all a bunch of fucking animals. Unless you live in a bubble, it's just impossible in one way, shape, or form. I personally believe everybody will have come into contact.
I'm knocking on wood.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not saying I want everybody to get it.
No, but due to the precautions that everyone is taking and my limited exposure to people in general, because at this point, like, I barely even go to the store. I have, like, everything delivered almost. Occasionally, I'll go to the store, but I try to be very, like, tactile about it.
Yeah.
But my, like, extremely limited exposure, and I'm home by myself, like, this is the first year I haven't ever, like, I didn't even get a cold.
I feel as though my immune in general has been cheated, if you will, because I'm not being exposed to all the normal shit that I would expose myself to. So, like, now I go outside and it's like, bing, you have a sinus infection. I'm like, oh, whereas before I was like, oh, okay, we can manage. Now I'm like, what is this? This is an awful experience and I'm hating my life. It's just like all around things are becoming more and more scary.
Well, I think you get used to operating in a certain way. I mean, I get headaches quite frequently. So for me, it would be like, if I didn't have headaches anymore, and then all of a sudden I got one, you know, it would feel so much more intense.
Uh-huh. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's just like too much. Yeah. I can manage that. No, I can't. I can't manage this anymore. I've bitched. I'm bitching out. I'm tapping out. I'm having a nap. Can't write this email today.
I mean, I feel that way and I don't have COVID.
Right. Well, but anyway, what else? Okay. So the last time you and I did a single episode, we were talking about your dick detox.
Yes. And I don't recall exactly where I was at in the process of that. I know that I was not done with it yet though.
No, you had just wrapped up one.
Oh, the
first thing. And for the content, you know, and you were like in the middle of number two. However, it was a very heavy section.
It was. So in case somebody didn't listen to the previous episode, the quick synopsis is that we had a guest on our show. Her name is Heidi Bushy, and she has a book called Relationship Ready: How I Stopped Fucking Randos and Started Cupcaking My Soulmate. And with that, what?
Sorry, she's just amazing. I just can't.
she is amazing. And not only did I decide to, after I listened to that book, do the worksheets that came along with it, but also continue working with her in a different workshop as well. So for the first workshop that went along with the book, we're calling that a dick detox. I couldn't have any contact with any men in any regard unless it was like business, basically. So unless it was for work, I couldn't talk to men on a one-on-one basis. You know, that includes texting and there's no working around that. That's just, you're on a complete detox.
You're on an island.
Yeah. And so you have to start getting very real with yourself very quickly. And you have to let go of some of the old ideas that you had around love or what relationships meant to you. And that theme kind of continued into the next workshop that I did. So I'll expand on that a little bit later. But then with the second module, you had to list out all men that you had some sort of relationship with over your lifetime.
And what
not,
is
not your like family, but like somebody that you've either dated, or even if it was just a physical relationship or emotional relationship, like somebody that, you know, made an impact in that regard. And so it could be even like a one night stand or something. So you had to list out.
Like the guy at the juice bar that like, she constantly, not you specifically, but like, let's say there's a guy that I constantly.
I was like, what juice bar?
Maybe there's a juice bar by me that I like to go to, and maybe there's a dude I like to look at. Just, you know, I don't. Is that a relationship?
No.
Yes, it is! Because it's always fucking fantasy relationship one-sided.
No. That doesn't count. Unless he's drinking your juice, it doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, that's not true either. If you guys started texting and being like flirty and stuff, then you've had some sort of like connection, then that could count.
I mean, like, let's say somebody's like super obsessed with a guy that works at the counter or the coffee shop, and they go in there specifically to see that guy, not because they love that coffee. Is that considered unhealthy relationship?
No, because the other person's not even in it.
Well, I know, but isn't that bad? That makes it worse?
Then you need a different workshop. You need something about stalking or boundaries, maybe. I don't know about that scenario. That sounds like something you do when you're 16.
But maybe that's something, maybe because you would never be that person. You wouldn't pine over somebody like that. You can't put yourself in that mindset. But I think that people should consider that unhealthy and put it down if they choose to go the dick.
Well, you know what? If they're considering it a relationship or some sort of connection or some sort of pattern, then be my guest. I am not here to enforce the rules. I'm just telling you what I did.
I like pattern.
Because the whole part of the exercise was to figure out what your patterns are so that you can break them. Mm. So I had, over my 20 years of dating, I had a list of 62 guys. So on average, it's like 3 guys a year or something. So not awful.
You just gave everybody your fucking number. Did you just give?
No, I didn't sleep with all of them.
Oh, okay.
No, that's what I said.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's just if you've I went on like a couple dates with them or whatever. Yeah, no. So no, I have not actually fucked all 62 of the men on this list. I mean, I feel like you could take that out of like that could be a soundbite for something else that we do.
I know that's going everywhere.
So anyway, you had to write down like their name, the age you were when you dated them, highlights and lowlights of the relationship. What way did that relationship affect me? Was it a pattern? And then what was my role in the chaos or the drama or whatever? And you could really only do one word answers for the majority of those columns other than the highlights and lowlights. That's when you could really like write your little heart out if you wanted to.
Which, did you really?
No.
Not really. No.
No, I did not. And so then after you like get that full list together, you have to determine like what your character defects are and figure that out. And then you have to like really dig in into like, what are your fears? Which was interesting for me
like relationship fears or like I'm afraid of tigers? Asking.
No, more like relationship or self growth, not Tiger King.
Which, sidebar, my friend recently just started her Zoom thing back up because they needed it for an external review on something, and she said the last time she used it was actually when Tiger King was popular, so her background was Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin when it popped up. Continue.
I left that road its wave out, man.
Me too. But just that's a great example of how you should just let things peter out on their own. Don't force it, you know?
You really have to like dig into like these old behaviors and how are you going to change them? What are your new behaviors? What are you going to do differently? Just in life, you know, not even just like for your emotional relationships that you have with men. Just, I mean, these things can help people with like any part of their life. And then another part of it is, like writing out what you're confident in and coming up with an ideals list to help you narrow down how to find the right partner. I mean, it was a lot of fucking work, and is a lot deeper than I tend to go.
You and me both.
And so when that was done, which I gave myself 30 days, the author, she also gave herself 30 days. It ended up taking her 11 months to get through this whole process.
She was a little deeper than you, though, let's be real.
Well, she was working through a lot of other things and had
deeper in the toxicity, not.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
She had more lead time, if you will. She had a lot more work to do.
Yeah, I mean, I still had 20 years of bad dating choices to work my way through there.
No kids, though, so you have that going for you.
No children's. Yeah, no, I mean, if anything, this is the perfect time to do it, because why not? Like, I'm at home by myself. I can't really date as freely as I'd like, so might as well, when I, you know, was ready to start dating again, be in a position where I'm going to take it very seriously, because I can't just go dating all willy-nilly.
Right.
You
gotta protect your hoo-ha at this point from the vid.
I have to protect my entire body.
Dangerous.
I mean, my hoo-ha needs to be protected from other things in addition to the vid. So I don't need a double up situation.
I had hoo-ha issues when I had the vid, FYI.
Right. I was thinking, like, are you alluding to something?
No, I just wanted to clarify, because I can see now how that would be misconstrued.
Well, and yeah, and no one's talking about that. So where did I, so it took me 45 days to get through this. And then I went right into another, activating your relationship potential type of workshop, which was similar in some of the work that you needed to do, but it was a different mode of how you get there. And it allowed me to go like even a couple more layers deeper than when I was doing it on my own. Cause after I got done on my own, I was like, do I get a gold star? Like, is there a graduation ceremony?
Did you just walk around with your arms over your head for 5 minutes?
I was just sitting here like, nah, what? Oh, no. Like I felt very accomplished. But at the end of it, you're supposed to go out and date. Like, you're supposed to go out into the world, and you can't do that right now.
Congratulations! You can go.
Congratulations! Yeah, go try to, you know, put these things into motion in real life. And I'm like, I'm just sitting here.
Oh my God, that's funny and fucked up at the same time. Cause you're like, well, I'll just take time to really look inward. And then you like did the work and now you should be able to celebrate cause it's hard work. And you're just like, well, I'm still in the house. Actually, we just entered our second lockdown from everything. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, and since we have a good relationship with Heidi, I emailed her throughout the process to like let her know that I was moving along and stuff. And when it was done, I was like, can you just like give me an A or something? Like, I'm an achiever, so.
Is there a leaderboard I can look at somewhere?
And then this next, workshop that I went into, so during the second one, I fired up Bumble again. So I took a breath after I finished the first one, took a hot second to just kind of breathe, fired up Bumble again, and was not excited about my options. What?
I wasn't pleased. I'm not going to lie to you. I was met with disappointment once I graduated. I achieved my goal and there was like no boop. And then I get onto the Bumbles and it's just really deflating. I'm not going to lie.
Really? It's like after you get your degree and then you go get your first job and then you realize, oh, I'm just making slightly above minimum wage. Like I thought I did all of that to make money.
Wait, I went to design school for 6 years and spent over 100K to do PowerPoint presentations? Damn it.
Truly, you're like, okay, well.
PC, all right, cool.
I guess this is reality. And so I talked with like a couple of guys on the app. I only exchanged numbers with two.
Oh, wow. You exchanged the numbers though. Usually you like, okay, let me ask you this. Are you doing anything differently consciously or are you just going with it and see what happens? Are you like actively being different than you normally would?
100%.
Talk to me about this. Super curious.
I am a changed person when it comes to relationships and dating.
Oh!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like super excited right now. Just, go ahead, I'm listening.
So I had done some of this work before, and as you know, on other episodes, I've talked about like creating a list and things of that nature. So, you know, this is not my first go around with list making. However, going through this process really allowed me to zone in on the more important things in a partner than, or at least the way that I wrote them down is a lot different than the way I would have previously. So, you know, like previously I would have said something like a guy who makes more money than me, right? Now I say, a guy with a commitment to financial security.
Ooh.
Like that's just for example, like one thing where I'm changing my own narrative and like using different word choices and really being able to stick to like, I don't need the bullshit, right?
Okay. So let me ask you this in that same vein of looking for a man who has financial security.
Uh-huh.
What financial security mean to you now versus the old version of that?
Well, I mean, the statements are even just different, right? Someone who's committed to financial security means that you're also going to get a type of person that is dedicated to their career and is, you know, more passionate about what they're doing. Is trying to be smart with their money, you know, looks at investment opportunities and doesn't like spend frivolously. So like, you know, all that kind of stuff gets wrapped up into just that one statement, Right. Whereas my previous list, I would have like listed out all those things, or I would have not listed out all of those things and just kind of thought that in my head, like it's implied, I guess.
Then like at face value, the guy could make more money than you, but he may only make more money than you on a couple of years out of the time instead of every year, because he does a job that gets some big wins, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, this is like a unique one, I guess, to kind of like dive into, but no matter what, like my previous list or the new list, I had always written down that I wanted somebody who's driven and ambitious, like, you know, career oriented.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm looking for not just like those qualities, but yeah, like somebody who's like living their truth, because they're like people who live their truth and people who are doing something that they care about and are, you know, passionate about it are going to naturally have money flow to them
and be happier in general, because they enjoy what they do every day.
Right. So, you know, it's just a more refined and mature way of trying to narrow down who the right partner is, or I should say the types of qualities that I want the right partner to have.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you sit there and you say, yes, the matter of money, you look at the fact that you want this person to have like as much money as you or more. But what kind of person does it take to make as much money as you or more is really the question you should be asking yourself.
Yeah. The majority of things that I write, I should really say all the things that I write down are things I possess myself, because at this point, I don't feel like I can necessarily require that from somebody else if I'm not personally doing it or working on it myself.
Yeah, and that's a fair thing to say. You can't expect others to get you something you don't even want to get yourself.
Right.
That's greedy.
Well, it's not. I mean, like some women might want to be at stay-at-home moms, and so they're looking for somebody who has financial security, but they're not looking to get financial security themselves in the workforce. You know, it all depends on like your end goal, right? Like, what do you want? I know how I want to live my life when I eventually get married or retire, or, you know, whatever those next phases are. And so I'm trying to set myself up for that life.
Yeah, which is good. Not a lot of people do that anymore. I think I've noticed a lot of people look at the like, because we've talked about this in the past, but this immediate satisfaction culture or this throwaway culture that we have is starting to seep into our personal relationships, and we're starting to treat people like things. And so people are starting to look at their right now relationships and not consider what the future holds with that person because they're satisfying that right now need. And then they try to force that person into the narrative that they have. Sorry, August. I just elbowed my cat right in the goddamn face. The poor little thing. So he's so mad.
I'll just do it at this point.
So mad at me. Anyway, then eventually people start to try to force that person who originally was like, yeah, kind of okay, into this like future rhetoric they had but didn't know they had. And so like, you're not doing yourself a favor by not looking at what you want in the future. And I recognize that now, because I never looked at what I thought I wanted. I was just like going with the flow. But I think also part of that was simply because of the fact that I was focused on like my career and getting to a point where I wanted to be able to say, hey, I can support myself and be independent and take myself on a trip. And, you know, I didn't ever want to have, after one relationship, really bad one I had, I never wanted to have to depend fiscally on another person ever again. I wanted to be able to manage all that on my own. So.
Well, you can do that.
You can.
I mean, obviously when you go into a marriage or a more serious relationship, you look to rely on each other. That's part of what that is, you know?
Yeah.
But you can still have your own things going for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, since I didn't have the pressure on me, nor did I have a clock ticking, nor do I feel any type of way about wanting children. I have not felt any kind of need to settle. And I think a lot of people, because they want to have a certain type of life, or they want to have children or whatever that may be, that they might find themselves settling or not finding the best partner for them. And so succumbing to, yes, like what, like succumbing to the short term. But there's a lot of other things that go into that, that I'm thankful I don't have to, I guess, deal with. You know, a lot of other people have a lot of pressures from their family and other things that go into why they make those decisions.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm very conscious of the way that I am appearing and the way that I could be perceived and where I'm putting my energy and who I'm deciding to spend my energy on. A lot of this is about magnetizing, right?
So let's talk about, I'm super curious because we started talking, there's a big hair in my mouth. Gross. Sorry. So you said you were doing things, approaching things completely differently, like in the chat, even when you're like talking to guys, what are some of the things that you do now that, or do you, are there like things that you catch yourself, your old self, getting ready to be like, I'm going to make a snarky comeback because I'm going to hide the fact that I think you're dumb already. Or are you like, no, nope, we're done. You're just dumb. You're dumb right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I don't think we're a good match.
You just say it right now, right off the bat. Like,
yep.
And how is that received? Or like,
sometimes there's pushback and sometimes there's not. Like, sometimes I just say, like, I don't think that the chemistry is there, or I say, like, I don't think we're a good match. If I'm trying to be like a little bit more gentle about it, if they start like pushing back or being a dick or whatever, then I just get real with them. So, like, you know, I had one guy that, one of the two guys that I gave my phone number to, initially we were like having really good banter and he was making me laugh pretty hard, which is always an easy way to like progress with me, I'll say.
Is that a pattern, Nicole?
Huh?
Is that a pattern?
No, it's just an attractiveness thing. Like,
not you just missed the whole joke. Continue.
No, I know. I got the joke. I got the joke. But I've never just fucked a guy because he's funny.
Well, that makes a lot of us.
And so this guy, he like randomly called me on voting day of all days, and our election day. And So naturally, as part of conversation, I was like, did you go vote in person today? Or like, did you get it done beforehand? And he goes, I've never voted. And I was like, okay, I didn't know that was going to be something that I was going to have a problem with. You don't know that you're going to have to list every single thing.
That's why I never tried to list anything, because I don't know what I don't know, and it freaks me out.
Well, no, and so this is all about like following your intuition and really channeling the energies and being like, this is off. Like, this is not gonna like work out, right? So basically I asked him and he was like, I've never voted. And I was like, I'm so surprised. Like, you have higher education. Like, he had a master's degree, he's employed, he's a citizen, he's
all the things. He's allowed to vote, FYI. He's alive.
Yeah.
That's a number that's valid issue to him.
And then he, like, I was just being curious at this point because I was like, but it was so easy. You just fill in your band. Like, I was like, I'm so, like, and he was Mexican. He was born in America, but he's Mexican. And I'm like, you'd think you'd want to have a bit of a, like, stake in the game here in this election.
Yep.
And so
the more you lend your voice, the more it's heard. So
yeah. And so then he was like telling me that I was lecturing him when I was really just asking him questions like, why don't you? And so, and he perceived it as like lecturing, because I think that was a defense mechanism where he was maybe embarrassed. And
oh yeah, maybe.
And it definitely wasn't my intention to embarrass him, but this is how phone conversation one is going, right?
Now, oh, at least it was on the phone, so he could tell that you had an inflection and tone. It wasn't via text. And, okay, so you were like,
"Hey, he calls me." This is a total typical conversation to have in the moment.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like in my brain, I was like, "Okay, what would old Nicole say to this?" And then what did new Nicole say to this? And so
the difference is that old Nicole probably would have said something snarky, or would have like just been like, "Okay," and not been curious about it, and kind of let it continue on because he was like making me laugh, and I thought he was cute and whatever, right? And in this situation, I was like, he's already not like ticking the boxes. And so, you know, I used to get in my head a lot about being like too picky, or that like, yeah, I'm never gonna like find the perfect person. So I would probably allow more of my time given to men than I really needed to. And so in this situation, I just was like, okay, this is weird. So we hung, like, it was like a 20-30 minute conversation. We hung up the phone, and then he had called me actually again, like another, like 2 days later or something, and like brought up the whole like lecture thing again. And then I was like, this isn't an attractive quality either. Now he doesn't know how to like let go of it, and he's like projecting on me. And so I'm looking at people and their actions and the way that they carry themselves and things with a much wider eyes, and interpreting it much differently than I would have before. And so it got though to the point, like, he ended up texting me like a week later. He had though either deleted the app or unmatched with me. And so I just thought, because I hadn't heard from him and he unmatched, that, and he told me I was lecturing him, that he wasn't interested.
Oh, no.
So he ends up texting me like a week later, and he's like, what the fuck, where'd you go? Or something like that. And I was like, first of all, that's not how you approach this. Like, in my head, I'm like, you don't just randomly come out of the blue a week later and say WTF to somebody.
Well, also, it works two ways, bro. Like, you could have asked. Well,
I was very upfront. I said, I got the impression that you weren't into me based on our conversations and because we're no longer matched on the app.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I reach out to you? And and so my communication has always been direct. That's never going to change, right? But now I'm just positioning things as like questions.
Right.
Instead of telling him, like, you did this, you did that, I'm saying, like, how was I supposed to know that you were still interested?
Right, yeah, giving them the ability to answer for themselves.
Right, and he's like, oh, no, I was really busy, and I was getting all these, like, hey messages that weren't leading to anything, so I just deleted the app, I didn't, like, unmatch you specifically, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, if you're too busy to have conversations with women or to even be on the app, then it doesn't sound like you can make me a priority right now. And so I don't think we should chat any longer.
Good for you.
So, you know, old me could have actually ended up going on a date with this guy. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it may not have, like, all of the things I'm telling you, it wouldn't have unraveled this way. It would have either like been pushed under a rug or not addressed head on, or I would have just wanted some attention because I've been single for forever.
Let's talk about the fact that you realized, like, something hit you. It was like a ding. It was like a red flag, like immediate red flag pop up. And instead of making excuses for it in your head as to why it would be okay, and there may be other good stuff to compensate for this questionable thing, you followed your gut and just got rid of it then and there.
Yeah, and I didn't even consider him not voting technically a red flag. I considered it a warning sign. But then I considered his behavior a red flag.
Right, that's what I mean. It's like it was just this like little thing that happened, and the way he handled it, immediately it was a red flag because of the way he handled it.
Mm-hmm.
Where before, this little warning sign that you may have brushed under the rug or whatever, instead of being curious, you would have made up those excuses for him and been like, oh, or whatever, compensate for him, and not let him show his true colors right then and there.
Yeah, or like I said, I would have like kept texting with him or wanting to keep something going because I just wanted like the attention.
Do you think that do you think now when you approach these conversations with these guys, are you completely disregarding any emotion that you have? Are you feeling new emotions that you maybe didn't feel before? Like, what is that process like for you?
No, I am, I'm feeling different emotions. So there's a couple of ways that I can break this down. So one is that I feel like I'm in such a good place with myself, and I have so much faith in just the universe that it'll take care of me, that when these jackasses come along, it's not as hard for me. It's not hard for me at all anymore. To be like, you're not it. Like, the right one will be here. And I think I was losing faith in that he like existed, right? And mm-hmm. So now I'm back on the bandwagon of like, he exists, and this is a way of me just filtering faster to get to him. Mm-hmm. So now I'm taking it as like, let's say I do go out on a date and it doesn't work out, but I recognize it so much faster. It's like I'm failing faster.
Yeah.
Wasting time and energy giving a guy 3 dates or whatever. And the reason I'm able to like knock them out quickly, even if they're nice guys, or even if I think they have great like
potential,
charisma, or have a good character or whatever, the reason I'm able to like knock them out so quickly is because I've gotten like much more crystal clear on what my non-negotiables are.
Right.
And then the other person that I gave my phone number to, we've been seeing each other for like a month.
Girl.
Or should I say talking for a month or whatever?
In the digital era.
Well, no, like we've met, and so because we were on the app for a little while, then we like texted for a little while, you know, so it was, that's why I'm like, it's a combination, I guess, of like texting and actually seeing each other, for the last like 4 or 6 weeks or whatever. And, like at this stage in the game, I'm being much more vulnerable than I ever was before. I am sharing things about my past much faster. I'm able to kind of like channel different like feelings in my body other than just my gut, right? Like, how is my gut, my heart, my head, how is everything aligning? And, you know, getting like the green lights on all the various spots, not just an intuition, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this new relationship as initially like a data collection period.
Stale, but I get it.
What?
Very logical and stale, but I get it.
But it's extremely helpful.
super important. I, like I said, I get it. I totally understand. It's if you break down like relationships outside of emotions and you look like it, very basic, how, why humans associate themselves with certain stuff, and it's data. It goes to show that people, you have to collect data to understand why people want to do something. So it's in your best interest to understand who you're trying to spend time with before you actually provide them with your own data, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, with the guy who said that he didn't vote, like data point.
Yeah.
So it's like a collection, like you're collecting data to determine if all of that like lines up for you. I'm not rushing into anything. We didn't kiss till the third time we hung out.
What? You kissed in quarantine, girl.
What?
You kissed quarantine.
We had been hanging out long enough, like I said, to know that we're both in the clear. But yeah, if I hadn't like kissed a guy on the first date before, I would have assumed that there was no chemistry, there was something wrong, or I don't know.
Yeah, like, oh, did I do something wrong? Are you not attracted to me? Are you, did I fuck up? Now I understand it's okay to not, like, you're allowed to have a friendship outside of this physical want to be with somebody. It's sickening that we are just wired to be more apt to give people who we find to be more attractive more time off the bat than people we find to be less attractive, because
that attractiveness needs to be there.
It does need to be there, 100%.
I mean, there's people that, when I talk about an ideals list, I mean, you can put on there that you want somebody who's 6 foot tall, or you can put on there whatever you want, but the reality is that he could have all of those things and be 5'9". And, well, that's, you know, what are you going to bend on a little? Like, where, like, what's really, truly important? But I have to be attracted to my partner. I have to.
I 100% agree. I think it's shitty that we as humans are wired that way. Because those are the data points that we can collect and we think are the right data points. It's not.
Well, so that's called like, so that's like your yoni, like your you know, Netherland regions. That's like your yoni area. And so you have like your brain, your heart, your gut, and your yoni all having to give you the signs to say go when you're into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so previously I gave my yoni a too large of a voice.
I'm very fairly certain my yoni was the only voice we had for many a year. Yoni only, please. We're a yoni only crowd in here right now.
Hence, but I think the name of this show.
Yoni only. So I think actually it's kind of fun to consider like data points as a good way to look at how we should start treating relationships, and saying like, I go out and I understand if I were to purchase a vehicle, I would understand the gas mileage, how much a year it would cost me, the kind of maintenance, what kind of maintenance I'd run into later on down the line. Like, people do that when they go to buy a vehicle. And like, that's a lot of time to invest in something you're probably not going to spend as much emotional time connecting with. But we won't put that kind of investment time-wise into a human and like be okay with cutting it off afterwards if it doesn't meet our criteria. And I think that's part of our problem. Well, it is our problem. It's like we continue to like allow these humans to not meet our criteria because we think there's potential in them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'll circle back a little bit, because I did say I was going to talk about like the old beliefs. And so a good portion of the second workshop that I was in, which was like activating your relationship potential, and it had Heidi was one of the coaches, and then another woman named Kendall, was the other coach, and it was a group situation, but you also had one-on-one time with the coaches. But a lot of that was about determining your anchor points or like your old beliefs. And it's hard, and you can have thousands of them, right? But if somebody asks me like, what's an old belief? I'm like, I don't even know what you're asking me. Like, what does that even mean? You know what I like? And so I had to do some like deep work to realize that like one of the things that stands in my way is that I don't have a lot of faith in like taking chances. And so that's why I had to change that old belief and just be like, the universe has got me. He exists. And it'll happen when it's supposed to, and truly believe it. Because I've said these things before, but I didn't attribute them to specific old narratives. And so, like, you can tell yourself, you know, positive affirmations in the mirror all day, but it doesn't really sink in until you, like, dig up, like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. Old and gross, dirty and dusty.
So, you know, I think you asked me like, what's one way that, or you may ask me like, what are several ways that I am doing stuff that's different than I did, before. And so now I'm trying to, with the new guy, communicate saying things like, I feel blah, blah, blah. And then following it up with, I need blah, blah, blah from you. Right. Nice. And so I don't generally go into, I feel X way. I'm just like, I'd really like for you to, you know, text me every day. Like that's not like an actual thing I say, but for an example.
Terrible example of how I am not.
let's say I was like, I just told a guy like, I want you to text me every morning.
Right.
You tell me good morning every morning, but I wouldn't explain like why or where that came from. And so I'm trying to lead up to it first. So maybe it's like, I feel good, or I like to know that you're thinking about me. And I get that feeling when you text me in the mornings.
Mm, yeah. That's a good way to structure it. Cause really ultimately I found the same thing where it's like, I was in the beginning of the relationship I'm in, I would, you know, be like, hey, what's going on? You know, where are you at? What's happening? And it was being perceived as me trying to like keep tabs. And I was like, no, I'm just curious because I'm not with you and I feel like I'm being left out. And it was like, you could see the like click when you explain where it's coming from. And yeah. So I've been practicing that more, because that's also one of my issues, is I don't allow others to see my vulnerabilities. I don't like to be vulnerable, period. So for me to express like, you know, I feel like I'm left out and I'm asking you these things because I want to feel like I'm involved even when I'm not there, like that puts a whole new spin on it, because it's really not me trying to keep tabs to make sure you're not talking to people you shouldn't be talking to. It's like, I just want to be with you, and that's me being vulnerable. So it's right. You have to dig, you have to figure out why you want these things. And if you don't know why, then you need to do some searching even further to figure it out.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been going to therapy on and off for years, and there's been a lot of conversations around, do the men that I'm attracting have similar values? And unless you have similar values, you can't have a strong foundation. And so a lot of this work is about shifting your ability to naturally attract people who have the same values.
Yeah, I like it. Well, because you're starting to be yourself. And when you are at your happiest, it's when you're fully at yourself or whatever. Right. So like,
or whatever,
or whatever. And yourself, that's when people really get to see who you are. Speaking of vulnerabilities.
Yes.
We have a story.
Do we still have time? It's already like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, probably not then. Let's share it on the next round of solo us.
Is it something that you can type out in the judgment-free zone? Or no?
Potentially. We'll do a snippet. It's a story. We'll want to talk about it.
Oh, so, okay. Well, this will keep people on the hook for whenever we get the opportunity to actually record the two of us again. And maybe eventually that'll be in person.
And so this is real time this week. Thanksgiving is on Thursday this week. Like, this is a real time episode for them. So, like, you're getting it all all actually happening. This is the episode to have it on. So, we really did have coronavirus this last week.
This was not pre-recorded. It's been 2 days before it's live. This is real life. This is the real status of your two hoes.
Well, actually, this is just us swinging back into the old beliefs. So funny. But yeah, so we'll have to wait until the next time to share the story, because it's blessed hilarious. And it's all about, you know, the exploration of how to be vulnerable and say, I feel, and this is why I feel, and these are the things I feel because of this feeling that I'm having. And it's pretty good.
All right. Well, you're really, you know, building up the suspense.
Well, I mean, it's worth it. Trust me. I'll tell you what. People hear this episode and they want to know the story before the next episode. Fucking tell me in the judgment-free zone, bitches.
That's our Facebook closed group. In case you're not part of it, you do have to go in there and request access.
But if you're in there, you can demand things of me.
Right. And get extra things that we did not share on the episode. So
fully share on the episode, you know, privacy concerns and all that fun shit.
So do you have an Adderall for this last week? I mean, maybe surviving COVID, I don't know.
Actually, yeah, I do. My Adderall, I made some really fucking great gluten-free bread from scratch. It's delicious. I'll have to give you the recipe. I'm fucking impressed. It's not like the it's really spongy. It's almost like a cake, but not. You know what I mean? Like, remember how gluten-y bread used to be? Nice and spongy and airy. Delicious.
The reality is that I'm probably never going to actually make bread, so you don't have to give me the recipe, but
no, you can use it. It's that kind of recipe. You can do it in a bread maker too. So
yeah,
if you ever mind, you just let a girl know. Otherwise, if anybody else would like it, I'm more than happy to share. In the judgment-free zone, of course.
Oh my god. So yeah. My Adderall is that in the process of having my refinance for my mortgage and debt consolidation, which sounds like really intense, but it was just student loans.
Yeah, let's be real. My debt includes my education.
Yeah, it's just student loans. So there was a notary that came to my house to assign all the paperwork. So I also got my like durable power of attorney and my living will and trust and my healthcare advocate and all that kind of stuff notarized as well. I was like, hey, he goes, do you have any questions? And I'm like,
do you have a little bit of time? I don't blame you.
Yeah, he was like, you know, most banks aren't even letting anybody inside. So
he's like, yeah. That's amazing. My mom was a notary of the public for a hot tick. That was a good time. We notarized everything.
Get that bread recipe notarized, bitch. Yeah, I finally took care of that kind of like legal nonsense because I wanted to give my family copies at Thanksgiving if I happen to see them.
Yeah, actually,
who I'm going to see. So
are you going anywhere?
I'm going to my mom's But I'm not sure if my brother and his fiance are going, and my grandma is not coming. So it might just be me, my mom, and her boyfriend, maybe his two kids. But yeah, so
that's it. Say, if it seems like you shouldn't, don't.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, even when I'm there and it's not COVID-y, I keep my distance.
Oh, well, you can keep your distance with us on Instagram.
Well, I mean, not from my mom. Like, my mom has been around throughout the whole thing. Like, I give my mom hugs. Let's not get this all twisted, but.
No, I know that. Yes, in all fairness, for the record, in case this is all jumbly, Nicole's mom has been around for the whole quarantine because she's been helping her the house and shit. So there's no mixing germs there. It's the children, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, and they're grown, but there's enough space that, yeah, we wouldn't have to, like, all sit at the same table or anything, so.
Yeah, you can safely distance and stuff.
Yep. But anyway, so that was a bit of a deeper episode. We've been having a lot of those lately.
Yeah.
I think it just lends itself to the type of time that we're in.
Yeah. At least these episodes, I'm just so excited because we're able to provide people with a multitude of different tools to help identify trauma, to help address it. And we have such varying levels now of methodology. You know, there's this surface scratch the surface stuff. There's immersive 2-day, 3-day courses. There's months with workshops. Like, I'm just, if anybody benefits from this, even if it's listening to us talk about our own experiences, that makes me happy, because I wish I had something with shit like this when I was growing up to listen to.
Well, and all the things that I'm talking about are affordable options as well. It's not like I'm going on some sort of crazy yoga retreat to, you know, Sonoma or something. Like, they're all realistic. You can do them pretty much on your own time. I mean, it's
like we have the Janine Staples workshop. If you hear this episode and it's not the 30th, get in the judgment-free zone. Let us know if you want to do the group participation with us.
She's doing a Dr. Janine Staples from our previous episode is hosting a virtual 3-day event December 10th through 12th. And you can get a deep discount by getting on the group ticket. So it's like $67 a person. But on the group website, the deadline for the Bring a Crew has been extended to December 7th.
Oh, perfect. That's wonderful.
But yeah, so we're trying to coordinate that. So basically only one person would then submit the payment and register all of the people. So then you would just basically contact Sarah or I to pay one of us and to let us know that you want to be part of the group. So you can do that if you're interested, or if you're interested in any of the other stuff that I did, any of those workshops or who those coaches were or anything, like, you can DM us on Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can DM me personally at gypsymagicofficial. You know, we're on Facebook every day. You can email us. Yeah, you can email us at stories@homancechronicles.com. So, you know, in case you don't want to just, like, wave your hand and say I'm down for whatever, if it's something you want to work on without telling the world, like, you can do that.
As a matter of fact, that's another thing to say. The group rate doesn't mean we have to do it in the group. So if you want to participate with the group rate with us, we don't have to go through the workshop videos together. You do them at your own pace on your own time.
Yeah.
So you not even know, nobody would not have to know you were even in the group to get the discount rate.
Yeah. And that workshop's all about, redefining your types of relationships that you want in your life, and you know, falling in love with yourself. Again, another probably exercise of changing some old beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say so. I would say that's probably one of the better ones to start off with, because you have to figure out who you are before you figure out who you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm on this self-help journey, so might as well keep that train going.
It's not a phase, Mom.
Choo-choo, here I come on my train.
Fuck you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if there's any proof in the pudding, you know, the most recent guy that I'm talking to actually has real potential, and I actually feel interested in him. And it's not been a common feeling over the last few years. And so it's, for me, it's impacting my immediate like decisions and who I'm deciding to spend time with.
Yeah. And I'm happy to hear that. That makes me very happy.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you like this episode, you can rate, subscribe, share, review, do all those things to help your hoes out. And and happy Thanksgiving.
Homance out.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.